Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Now let's go to the United States, where President-elect Donald Trump has begun to assemble his top team, appointing his election campaign manager, Susie Wiles, as White House Chief of Staff. He's also been doubling down on his mass deportation election promises in an interview with NBC News, saying, "It's not a question of a price tag." We're joined from Washington by our reporter, Una Kelly. Una, good morning. Good morning to you once again. Donald Trump referred to Susie Wiles as the Ice Maiden in his victory speech. She's now been appointed as his White House Chief of Staff. What more can you tell us about her?
Yes, good morning, Claire. Well, I mean, first of all, she'll be the first woman ever to be the White House Chief of Staff, and that's a really important job. It would be regarded as the second most powerful job in Washington. Essentially, they're the gatekeeper to the president and basically the manager of the White House. Now, it was expected that Susie would be able to rule. People around Donald Trump for that to happen. She mostly operates in the back, but she is known as one of the most feared in the US. She's been around in politics for quite a while. She joined Ronald Reagan's 1980 election campaign, and then she's been living in Florida and involved in politics. Right. She first met Trump in 2015, and then she was chair of...
Okay, Una, do you know what? I think we're going to try and fix your line because we're having some interference on that line from the United States. Now, you know that there are big questions for the international conflicts that are happening in the world right now since the election of Donald Trump, based on what he said during the campaign. And in particular, and in the news this morning, we have Ukraine. And despite what has happened in Germany with the collapse of the government there, we have Chancellor Olaf Scholz saying that what is happening there politically won't affect Berlin's aid for Ukraine. He said, "I think it's important to say that the aid to Ukraine, the military support, the financial support is assured, and that we're providing significant aid both nationally and within the framework of the G7. And that, I would imagine, is a most important message for President Zelensky to hear as he waits to see what Donald Trump plans to do when it comes to American aid, which has been so forthcoming to Ukraine since the invasion by Russia in 2022. All right, we have Una back with us now from the United States on hopefully a better line. Donald Trump, Una, has been doubling down on those campaign promises he made to initiate mass deportations of illegal immigrants. And this was in his first interview as president-elect with NBC News. So take us through some of what he's been saying.
Yeah, so Claire... This is a good something, a big promise he'd made during a campaign without really sort of nailing down what the actual policy would look like. So he just said that they would have no choice but to carry out the mass deportations that he's promised, and said that it's not a question of a price tag. He then went on to refer to something that I also heard him talking about at a rally on Monday night, where he talked about people who were killed and murdered in the US and drug lords who have been destroying countries, and basically that they won't be allowed to stay in America. Now, mostly people who are deported would be people who've been detained near the border with Mexico. Anyone who is further inland in the US, usually so far that's because they're deemed to be a national security threat or they have some sort of criminal conviction. Those kinds of deportations of people who are further into the country, that's been below about 100,000 for the past decade or so. Now, there were, under Trump's last administrations, some raids on work sites, but they were very controversial and suspended in 2021. But it does look like he's determined for this to happen. If it does, though, there will be massive legal challenges and also logistical challenges. Experts are also estimating that to deport 1 million people, that would cost tens or hundreds of billions of dollars.
Okay, so people are looking ahead to what's coming down the tracks, but also looking back at the election and what influenced people, and the focus is turning to the cost of living. It was such a big concern, wasn't it, for so many voters?
Yeah, Claire, it was really the key issue that emerged as affecting people's everyday lives right now in America, and a key issue that influenced how they actually voted. And Claire, from the very first moment we arrived here, it was the first thing on people's lips when you asked them about how they were feeling about the election and who they might choose. Now, in the Midwest, in Michigan, where we were first week, people said that this turned them towards Trump. Here in Washington, D.C., where we are now, it's a very different place from the Midwest. As you might expect, this area would be heavily swinging towards Democrats. But the high cost of living is still an issue for people here. Take a listen to what some of them had to say.
It's crazy. I'm a recent graduated college student, and it is really impossible to find an apartment that I can afford. And I think a lot of people are feeling that way. And the Democratic Party has yet to address that in the way that we're looking at taxes or the way we're looking at the cost of housing. And I think Donald Trump did talk about cutting housing costs, and that was really appealing to more right voters.
And when it comes to essentials like groceries and the price of gas over the past few years, what have you noticed?
It's gone up. It's skyrocketed here. Eggs are more expensive. The milk is more expensive, everything.
Everything's a bit more expensive, especially food. That's, I think, where it's most noticeable for me. But housing's up too. The last couple of years, you know, the inflation's been a lot more aggressive here than we're used to. It doesn't feel like wages have grown as much as the cost of things. It's always the basics, I guess, like the price of milk that strike you, or eggs maybe. I think that some parts of the United States are doing great. Places around here always have, for the most part. But the parts of America that decide the election, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Michigan, you know, the Midwest generally, the sort of middle of the country, not so much.
Definitely the rent is going up everywhere across the city. I would say it's almost impossible for anyone to afford the cost of living here unless you're making like $60,000 a year at least. Yeah, it's rough. Well, recently people were very shocked by the price of eggs. You know, a carton of eggs was like $7 or something, which, yeah, basics, everything.
It's very high cost of living. And I've lived here for about 40 years and I can see the difference.
Has it changed much about the way you're able to live your life?
It's just because I have to think twice about certain things before I do them because it's become so expensive.
Prices are like 25%, 20, especially food prices, higher than they were in like 2019. You know, I think for someone who is on a fixed income, you know, the necessities of life cost more, and so they felt that pain.
It was a big thing that came up in this election that lots of people seem to feel that they're not doing that well.
Yeah, well, I think they're going to miss their democracy no matter what the eggs cost. So I really don't think it matters if you don't have your rights and somebody's going to control what eggs you can buy or who can buy eggs and who can't buy eggs. You know what I mean?
Everyone is talking about the price of eggs. Was that a thing in this election?
Yeah, they got really expensive.
Gosh, the price of eggs, Una, really playing on people's minds. But you know, the higher cost of living and inflation, that's really affected people here in Ireland too. And alongside that, we've been talking a lot in the last while about the higher cost of doing business. Have you found that that's an issue in the United States too?
Yeah, absolutely. Claire, I was really struck by how they're talking about the same issues in the States that we would be talking about, you know, hospitality struggling and higher cost of doing business. I was talking to a business owner called Becky. She's been running an independent skincare shop in Washington for the past 7 years. She says most businesses are going through a difficult time and that there's also a marked difference between the times before the pandemic and after.
It's different. I would say foot traffic is different and people's buying habits are really different. They're just, everyone's a lot more cautious than they used to be.
In terms of spending?
Spending, yeah. Spending and just really being careful that, you know, they're not, they're really wanting to make sure that they're making very mindful purchases, which of course, so am I as a business owner, so I get it. But yeah, it's, I think there's a hesitation and like the average consumer.
And the cost of running a business is quite high, is that right?
Yes, actually, there's some fees recently that are new in terms of like importing goods. Like I just imported some small batch skincare from Vancouver, and we have a $200 bill for brokerage fees from the firm that shipped the package. And stuff like that, it comes out of nowhere, and it didn't exist before. So it's like little things like that where we're just finding that everything's so much more expensive and there are fees where there didn't used to be fees.
The economy is doing better now in the U.S., but that doesn't seem to have reached people's lives.
I think that in some ways that is the case, but I don't think that a lot of us are feeling that like in the store. I don't think that the strong economy is necessarily coming through in a way that I would expect it to feel. The economy is doing really well. I would expect things to feel a little different. And there's just this sense of hesitation always, it seems like.
people in the United States there speaking to our reporter Una Kelly. And my thanks to Una Kelly and producer Ronan Coveney for all the great work they did during a fairly frantic week crisscrossing the United States on little or no sleep. And we look forward to welcoming them back home. Now, coming up next, three people charged over Liam Payne's death. We'll get more on that after this.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.